Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us. Let me pull up my notes. We're trying Zoom out today. We thank you for joining us. Unfortunately, we couldn't get the Facebook Live video to work, so as people find that, they might join us on Zoom. Just so you know, you are all muted. And we'll be controlling the mute, so you won't really be able to talk, but I encourage you still to respond and say the words at home and sing along with the songs. And again, thank you for joining us. We're still adapting to technology, and we're trying to serve as many people as possible in the best way. We give thanks for Perry and recording the music ahead of time and sending it to us. It's not the best quality. We don't have the fancy mics, but again, we're making do. Some of you may have seen on Facebook that I was trying to get pictures together, and I was not able to this week, but we're going to figure it out, and so we'll definitely have it. It'll make Easter nice. Give us something special for Easter. We're going to do palms and communion today. It's not going to be your typical thing, obviously, but if you made cut out palms at home, I encourage you to wave them while we sing All Glory, Laud, and Honor, and I'll wave them on here on the video. If you have video available, please go ahead and pull that up and do your palm waving or take pictures at home that we can share with one another. Same with communion. I encourage you, if you have something nearby, I have my goldfish and my water, my jug of water, because we're make and do with what we have. Maybe it's chocolate. I thought about using a Rolo, but I decided that might be a little difficult. But, you know, you got to make do. What makes it holy is that we're gathering together and eating together. It's not the item. And I think that's all for the announcements. So we're glad you can join us. Please be patient with us, and let's all just take a deep breath in and out and enter into worship.
In time, we raise our palms and flowers.
There we go. In grateful praise, we celebrate God's beautiful creation.
With gratitude, we breathe in the warming air.
And smell the floral scents dancing in the breeze.
For creation and for our Creator, we sing songs of praise and thanksgiving.
No matter our location, we join together this day. For our reading today, we are doing a bit of a narrative reading. It's coming from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11 initially. As they approached Jerusalem, entering Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent off two disciples with the instructions,
And immediately you will find a tethered donkey with her colt standing beside her. Untie them, lead them back to me. If anyone questions you, say, the rabbi needs them. Then they will let you go at once.
This came about to fulfill what was said through the prophet. Tell the daughter of Zion, your sovereign comes to you without display, riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. So the disciples went off and did what Jesus had ordered. They brought the donkey and her colt, and after they laid their cloaks on the animals, Jesus mounted and rode toward the city. Great crowds of people spread their cloaks on the road, while some began to cut branches from the trees and lay them along the paths. The crowds, those who went in front of Jesus and those who followed, were all shouting,
Hosanna to the heir of the house of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Most High. Hosanna in the highest.
As Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred to its depths, demanding, who is this? And the crowd kept answering,
this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. Our text continues. With Matthew
chapters 21, verses 12 through 17. When Jesus entered the temple, he drove out all those who were selling and buying there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those selling doves. He said to them,
Scripture says, My house is called a house of prayer, but you make it a den of thieves.
Those who were blind or couldn't walk came to him in the temple, and he healed them. When the chief priests and teachers of the law saw the wonderful things Jesus did throughout the temple area, especially when they heard the children shouting,
Hosanna to the heir of the house of David.
They asked him, Do you hear what the children are shouting?
Yes. Have you never read? From the mouths of children and nursing babies, you have brought forth praise.
After leaving them, Jesus went out to Bethany to spend the night. The word of God for the people of God. Okay. Switching gears. I want to take a moment and ask you to maybe close your eyes or take a moment. Let's go back to Jerusalem on the very first day when Jesus comes to town. You see, not only is Jesus coming to town that day, but so is Pilate. I want you to imagine you're a peasant who has lost your land due to debt, can no longer find a job because you don't know anything else other than farming. Your friends are in the same situation as is most of Jerusalem in the countryside, because the Romans and a few of their collaborators, including the chief priests and scribes in the temple, have all the power and wealth in town. Passover is about to begin, and Jerusalem has gone from a town of around 50,000 people to 500,000 people. And you can feel the tension in the air. You have heard about the possibility of two parades today. One is for the Roman governor Pilate coming into town to help, quote unquote, keep the peace, while the Jewish people celebrate the time they were released from captivity in Egypt. There are a lot of people in town, and the Romans don't want anyone getting together and trying to start a new rebellion. Pilate arrives with a full imperial procession, an array of examples of imperial power, cavalry on horses, foot soldiers, leather armor, helmets, weapons, banners, golden eagles mounted on poles, sun glinting on metal and gold. Imagine the sounds of the marching of feet, the creaking of leather, the clinking of bridles, the beating of drums. Feel the swirling of dust and the eyes of the silent onlookers, some curious, some awed, some resentful. Now, the second parade is much more modest. It is for a prophet and teacher named Jesus. He comes into town riding a donkey with a colt trailing by its side. Those accompanying him on the journey are peasants from the surrounding villages, people living in poverty in the city, and others ill both physically and spiritually. People are paving his way by waving palm branches and laying clothing on the road. You hear shouts of Hosanna, which literally means save us, please. Because those attending believe that this man, Jesus, is the promised Messiah who will save Jerusalem from the Romans and restore it to the former glory it experienced under King David. So which parade do you attend? The grand display of power by the Romans, where they remind everyone that they rule with violence, greed, and justice? Or the smaller, quieter, humbler parade, where Jesus reminds people of the hope of a Jerusalem where peace and justice reign? Knowing the outcome as we do today, I would like to think that I would be right there with the small crowd, worshiping the one who comes in the name of the Lord. I'm guessing you would feel the same. But then, which Savior are you waiting for? Are you with the violent, anti-temple Jewish revolutionary groups who want a new king to lead the way in overthrowing the Romans and their Jewish collaborators? Or do you recognize that Jesus is a gentle servant leader who reminds us that God's ways are not the ways of this world? What are you waiting to be saved from? In this day and age, it's obviously hard to even think about a parade. And yet Jesus still comes for us. Now we are crying out Hosanna, saying, save us. But from different things now. And yet it is still on us to recognize that Jesus comes to us as a gentle servant leader, that we still in the midst of fear and pandemic need to be reminded that God's ways are not the ways of the world. We need to be reminded that God is still present always. In Matthew's portrayal of Jesus entering Jerusalem, the author continues to show us that Jesus fits and fulfills the scriptures. He's the promised Jewish Messiah, even quoting from Isaiah and Zechariah in the middle of today's passage. The author is reminding listeners that Jesus is making the scriptures prophecy, one that looks to God's vindication of the holy city of Jerusalem and the promise of redemption. All of these come true. Of course, the issue that causes Holy Week to go from a parade of somewhat celebration, somewhat of protest, to sadness, to celebration again, is that the people had different expectations of what the original prophecy meant. One scholar observes that Jerusalem had to make a decision that day about what to do with the Messiah who ushers in a reign of peace, not warfare. That wasn't really what the people had in mind, so their expectations were disappointed. They wanted a different kind of glory and redemption, a king who would rise up against Rome. Though Matthew points out that Jesus fulfills messianic promises, the people start to realize that Jesus doesn't fulfill popular messianic expectations. Throughout Holy Week, King Jesus becomes a threat to both the powerful elite and the multitude that gathered to welcome him into the city. Pastor and author Rachel Keefe writes in her blog, "When Jesus rode that donkey into town, it was a political and prophetic act. Jesus demonstrated that he was against the temple authorities who worked from Rome as much as he was against Rome. He wasn't making a religious statement. He was inviting the powerless to journey with him as he went to face the powers of this world that will do anything to further their own interests while stomping all over anyone who gets in their way. Jesus made a conscious choice to confront the oppressors of his day. We must make the same choice if we call ourselves his disciples." Even in the midst of the fear, this pandemic, we're not holding a parade on this Palm Sunday. We're all separated. But we are still called to be disciples. We are still called to confront the oppression of the day. For in the midst of the fear, there are still oppression happening. There are still people who are homeless. There are still people who are being taunted and hate crimes, particularly towards Asians. There are still immigration raids going on. There are still government policies that are destroying creation. I want to both hold you and acknowledge that maybe right now all you can do is be at home. Obviously, we all have to stay home for social distancing, but maybe right now all you can handle is the fear. But for those of you who are feeling angry, who want to cry out, "Save us, do something," there is still need. There's still need for us to stand up to the status quo and proclaim an alternative where God's ways of servanthood, gentleness, humility, peace, mercy, and selfless giving of generosity and compassion. There are plenty of opportunities. Even as we sit at home at our computers, on our phones, to call our senators, our leaders, and say, "Do what you can to get our healthcare workers and those on the front lines the PPE they need." We need to remember that the ultimate purpose is still to join together and be the church, whether it's virtually or in person, hopefully eventually someday again. And that when we create these ministries, when we do these acts, that we do them to give power to the powerless, to share God's unconditional love. So I ask you again, what Savior are you waiting for? For the message of Palm Sunday still radiates and applies to all of the many diverse and even conflicting messianic expectations of Christians today. We can all admit that we have our own expectations of what Christ should be here at Grace. That's okay. We're human. And so we come back year after year after year to Lent and Palm Sunday and Holy Week and remind ourselves that Jesus came to be crucified and raised from the dead to change the world, not to leave the ways of the world as they are. We come, whether virtually or in person, we come whether in pandemic or in joy to remember that promoting God's will for a loving, just, and peaceful world here and now is the continuing task. And we are continuously called to take up this cross and follow. May it be so. Now, we can't physically take offering right now, but I do again want to remind you that we can mail. There are online options. And so I offer this reflection on offering. And at the end, if you have the bulletin in front of you, there is a little bit of a prayer together. I invite you to read it along at home with me. And I'll let you know when we get there. Whether we are in front of computers or with smartphones in our hands, God is using technology to draw us closer. God is also using new avenues for us to contribute our talents, time, and treasures to the church. Our Creator uses every means to draw us closer and share what we have. In this time and space, as we support our staff and care for our congregants, our giving sustains the work of the church. Please give as you can as our ministry continues in this most unique of situations. And with gratitude, let us pray together. Gracious God, for treasures collected, for time given, and for talents shared, we express our thanks. Encourage us to use our offerings to sustain and expand the work of the church. Amen. At this time, I invite you, if you don't already have it in front of you, to bring your communion items and gather them in front of you. When we break bread together as a church in our worship, we remember that Jesus invited folks to his table as part of his ministry, not just at the Last Supper. So we want to create a way for all of us to break bread together with whatever we have at our homes. I invite you to share with the group gathered online what food you're bringing to the table for virtual feast by holding it up if you have your camera on or typing it in the comments. If you have any pictures, if you don't have your camera on, if you want to take pictures and send it to us, We'll post them on Facebook. We are together. We are, may not be eating the same bread or the drinking from the same cup, but we are together. We are all taking communion. So, I invite you to join with me in an attitude of prayer. Jesus used the parable of a great banquet to which all people are invited in order to talk about what the kingdom of God, the family of God, looks like. He said, "Go to the highways and back alleys and urge people to come in so that my house will be filled." He often invited the most unlikely guests to his mealtimes, confounding the disciples. In this way, he was encouraging a deep love and connection beyond social norms. He knew that we humans need connection and inclusion. Jesus comforts us, saying, "You have a place at the table," and Jesus challenges us to make sure we are doing the same, that all people know they are welcome in our hearts, in our homes, in our churches, even if we can't physically be with each other right now. It is difficult in this moment not to be near some of the people we love and might be worried about. Let us take a moment and remember the names of people that are on our hearts right now, those we wish to lift up. Jesus is no longer physically on earth, yet every time we gather around a table and we call him to mind, he is present with us in spirit. And so too are our loved ones with us. Let this be a comfort to us. We also want to call to mind the people we cannot name, whose names we do not know, but we know they need our prayers and God's comfort. Let us lift up those who have lost loved ones, those who are sick and recovering, those who are caring for loved ones who are sick at home, those who are caring for persons in medical care, those who are separated from loved ones, those who are feeling alone and isolated, those who are helping and are so very tired, those who are struggling to find friends, food, and comfort, for those who are afraid. We give, lift up joy that in these moments, there is still joy. We give thanks for God's comfort and love. We give thanks for reconnecting with people, friends, and family who maybe we haven't talked to in a while, but now that we have downtime, are suddenly able to do. I invite you to take a deep breath. On behalf of all those we do not know and cannot call by name, as we do, we know that God knows who needs our prayers, and the Spirit breath of God is blowing from within us as a spirit of compassion and presence. Let us join together and say the prayer your Son taught us, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Blessings at the table are part of our Judeo-Christian heritage. Indeed, Jesus adapted his Jewish ritual blessing spoken before and after meals. He asked us to remember him whenever we break bread and raise a cup in thanksgiving. This is why we call our communion prayers the Great Thanksgiving. In this feast of love and comfort, we can call to mind things for which we are deeply grateful. And so I invite you to raise with me either a plate or just maybe just one, whatever you have, something on your table, on your desk, wherever you are gathered, and a glass or a water bottle or whatever you are drinking. Hold them in your hand and let us bless them in this way. Repeating after me there at home. I will read it twice to read it with you. Holy Comforter, Holy Comforter, we gather in your name. We gather in your name. Invited by Jesus. Invited by Jesus. Bound together with your spirit. Bound together with your spirit. In union with each other. In union with each other. Feed our bodies and our spirits. Feed our bodies and our spirits with your comforting presence, with your comforting presence, so that we might be your comfort to others, so that we might be your comfort to others. Bless this food, and break open our hearts. And break open our hearts. Bless this drink, and pour out your love, and pour out your love. Amen. Amen. Let us eat and drink the bread of life and the cup of thanksgiving. as you continue to eat these items, once we have signed off, continue to eat them through the week, I invite you to imagine what extravagant love looks like as you reach across the social distance to loved one, to friends, and even acquaintances or strangers. Let us give thanks for what we have been provided with and what we are able to share. And now we'll play What Wondrous Love Is This? I invite you to sing along at home. And now, may you shelter not only in place, but in peace. May the peace and comfort of Christ be present with you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for joining us. And if you want to watch the service again, you're welcome to. It will be posted on Facebook later. As always, don't forget to wash your hands, follow your CDC guidelines, and stay home if you're at risk. If you need to, feel free to reach out to me or others via phone or email. That information has been sent to you. Go in peace. Amen.